Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with the samples. I've been battling allergies for years now. Let me tell you, they've been a real ordeal in my life. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to ClaritinD.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, gang? Welcome to The Greatness Machine. I'm your host, Darius Mirshazadeh. I'm so pumped to have you here with me. Now listen, The Greatness Machine, we're about two things. Number one, people who are living their passions. And number two, those who are creating greatness in the world and doing both of these things despite the odds against them. Each episode, we're going to feature interviews with game changers, business leaders, you know, telling us their origin stories, what made them tick, what got them to where they are now. Why? So it can help you step into your greatness within your life, your business, and your career. Occasionally, you might hear a few solo episodes from myself, moi as I say, as I leverage my 20 years of entrepreneurship as a CEO and founder to help you grow and level up in your journey to scale your life and your business. So come be a fly on the wall, enjoy the conversation, and I'm stoked to have you here with me. What's up, everybody? Welcome to today's episode of The Greatness Machine. I'm your host, Darius Mirshazadeh, and today is a very special episode. We're going to be doing a solo. I want to talk to you about something amazing that I've recently overcome that has haunted me most of my life, and something that I had a really backwards perspective about that I think that many people on this earth actually probably struggle with. For the sake of vulnerability and transparency, I'm going to admit right now that I'm a person that lived most of my life as a very anxious person. I suffered from anxiety. I still do suffer from anxiety. It's an affliction that many of us suffer from. I would consider mine at times debilitating anxiety. But it was something that I started very young. I remember the first time I can remember actually having anxiety was when I was in fourth grade. I was 9 years old. I had it before then. I just didn't know what it was. I remember just being very nervous. And the story about when I was nine was that I was my brother. I have a twin brother, Mike, and my twin brother Mike was super ADD and, you know, hyperactive, and he was always getting into trouble. And he had somehow gotten a hold of some like naked pictures. Mike was always like obsessed with like the female form at a young age, stealing Playboys and that was another time. That was in third grade that he had done that. But in fourth grade, he had somehow gotten a hold of some naked pictures. It was like a photocopy. I don't know how he got it. I don't remember, but I remember I was super scared for him, that I thought he was going to get into trouble. And so I stole them from him and I flushed them down the toilet at school. And just cause I didn't want him getting in trouble. But I remember this like deep belly anxiety. And so when I think back, I'm 44 years old, that was 35 years ago. I think back, that's the first time in my life I remember having this deep, deep anxiety, worried about my brother getting in trouble. Back then, you know, the way I thought about it was, you know, I had a grandmother who's an amazing woman who was always worried about everything. She was worried about this and worried about that. And she was, don't stand up there and don't, you know, worried about heights and don't ride the escalator. And I mean, it was like a laundry list of stuff she was concerned about and worried about. So I just thought to myself, well, I'm just like my grandma. I'm just, you know, we had a word for her. We called her a worrywart. I think worrywart is what we called her. And I,
I was just like, oh, I'm a worrywart. I'm just like my grandmother, who I love dearly. To this day, I love her dearly. And I was just like, I relate. I was like, I'm like her. I'm a person that just worries about things. And I, you know, again, 9-year-old brain, that makes a lot of sense. You see someone, you're just like them. You love them. You're like, oh, I'm just like them. You know, like that, like that's like someone I love, like no big deal. But it was something deeper than that. You know, like I grew up in an environment that was, you know, there was a complicated environment, and without getting into too much detail, there was, you know, trauma in my household that was the root of this anxiety. It was not necessarily the most comfortable place for a child to grow up. And I, as an adult looking back, I know that that was, you know, that was what caused my anxiety, was being surrounded by having to be a perfect person, or else there were some pretty heavy consequences. So this became rooted deep in me, this anxiety. And the way that I overcame it was through performance. I became a straight A student. I became a star athlete. I became the leaders of every single thing I ever did. And so I found out early in life that the way I could soothe my anxiety was through performance. I would get positive affirmation. I would not create any imperfections. And if you don't create any imperfections, what's there to be worried about? And this carried on through my life, all the way through young adulthood. I was a star wrestler growing up, you know. I was the MVP of my team. I was all county. I was all these great things in high school. I was, you know, all conference. I was one of the top wrestlers in my state. Before every match, I would have like sick to my stomach anxiety, you know, and it was just a thing where, like, whether it was asking a girl out to performance anxiety. I mean, and now when you're young, like that's, everyone's like, oh, that's normal. But it was a thing where the only way I knew how to soothe it was performance. And I started building walls around it. And it wasn't until about, I would say about, was it 2023? It was about 8-9 years ago. After many, many years, this is decades now of dealing with anxiety. Whenever bad things would happen, I would get really anxious. I mean, sick to my stomach, anxious, haunt me anxious, physically, you know, ail from this anxiety. Anyway, one of the mechanisms I used to kind of, that was really an affliction for me was obsess. I would obsess about things constantly. And whenever something bad would happen, I would obsess and problem solve and obsess and problem solve. Or whenever I made it past a certain part in my life, I would think back to the hard part of my life and obsess and problem solve in retrospect. I'd problem solve things that I'd already been through, what I could have done differently, even though this is maybe years later, you know? And so I found myself in this constant state of backward reflection, constant backward problem solving, or worrying about what hadn't yet happened in the future. And it was just this kind of state where the only way I could get out of that state was through making money and performing. So I would soothe my anxiety by doing what I could control, being a kind of controlling the one thing I could control. I was like, well, I'm going to make money. Because if I make money, then at least I have something to deal with that pain. You know, I heard a quote once that was, a problem's not a problem if money can solve it. And I kind of had that mindset. I'll just go make more money. I'll have more savings. You know, I'll use that if there's a rainy day. And this is coming from someone that, you know, I spent 5 years in entrepreneurial purgatory, didn't make any money. So I already had some PTSD around, you know, that things can go away or you can feel pain unexpectedly. And also coming from my industry, being the mortgage industry, very volatile, big highs, big lows. This episode is brought to you by Shopify. In the world of successful partnerships, names like Procter & Gamble, Ben & Jerry, and supply and demand echo through business history. But when it comes to growing your business, who are the perfect partners? That's you and Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. We're talking from launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to did we hit $1 million order stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling shipping supplies or promoting productivity programs, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Picture this, a time when my business was facing a tough hurdle and I wasn't sure how to break through. But then came the breakthrough moment, a game changer that took my business to the next level. You know, what I absolutely adore about Shopify is its unparalleled ability to adapt and grow with your ambitions. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 75 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Darius, all lowercase. That's D-A-R-I-U-S. Go to shopify.com/Darius now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/Darius. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with the samples. Hey there, friends. It's Darius Mashazda here, and I have a little confession to make. You see, I've been battling allergies for years now, and let me tell you, they've been a real ordeal in my life. Allergies have been my constant companion. They stop me from fully enjoying the little things in life, canceling plans with friends because of sudden allergy attack, to missing out on an outdoor activity because of sneezing fits. Allergies have been a real nuisance. Luckily, for those of us who live with symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing and a runny nose, itchy, watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. I've been a Claritin D user for many, many years now, and let me tell you, it's made a world of difference. Since I started using Claritin D, my symptoms have improved dramatically. Now, I can breathe easier, enjoy outdoor activities without worrying about sneezing fits, and truly live my life without being held back by allergies. Ready to live as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter now. You don't even need a prescription. Go to ClaritinD.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear, use as directed. So I had a lot of these like really complicated layers, you know, a history from a familial perspective of an anxious environment, being around a lot of anxious people, a lot of trauma around money in my household. Then I go into an industry that's super, super volatile, big highs, big lows, feast or famine, again, reinforcing those feelings. And for me, I was either anxious or soothing anxiety. And in 2015, I had this episode in my business where I had this debilitating anxiety happen. My business was a mortgage lender, and we had this one issue with the Department of Urban Housing and Urban Development, where the performance of our loans were not where they needed to be. Now, this is not uncommon, but it was something that that caused some, you know, potential existential threat to the business. And I got freaked out. And my business partner, who had only been working with me at the time for a couple of years, saw me suddenly go from this creator, this person that was constantly positive, constantly creating, to he saw me in my state of debilitating anxiety, where I was obsessing about how to fix this thing, and it was bothering me, and I couldn't, I mean, it was really kind of ruining me as a leader. I was CEO of the company at this point, and I was not doing well. And so I have a friend, Doug Irwin, former guest on the show, who recommended I go see this cognitive behavioral therapist out of Stanford. His name is Matt May. And I went down there and we did a 4-hour session together, and he gave me this one tool. He said, you know, essentially, he said, I want you to keep track of it, how many times a day you are anxious. I want you to keep track of this. So I got this little clicker on my iPhone, and it was like one of those things like when you walk up to the door of a nightclub and someone's clicking how many people are coming in. So it was like a digital version of that. And I'm clicking how many times in one day that I'm anxious. And it was like insane. The first day it was like 89 times, pangs of anxiety running through my body. But it was interesting that just by clicking it, I had an awareness around this thing that was controlling my behavior and my feelings. And the second thing he told me, you know, again, we had a whole session together, and he's been mentored by some very famous cognitive behavioral therapists. His mentor was David Burns, who's a very famous person in that world. And he essentially, you know, ran me through all these different, you know, modules, and, you know, and we did these things like, what's the worst thing can happen? And, you know, again, I'm not a therapist, so I don't want to get into that, but, you know, left me with these tools. And one of the tools was counting how many times I'm anxious, having an awareness around it, keeping track of it. Second thing was I could carve out a time during my day, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 minutes, an hour if I wanted. And it ended up usually being like 20 or 30 minutes where I could think of all the worst shit that could possibly happen to me in my world. And I could just sit there and live in this world of like deep anxiety. So I started doing that, where it was maybe 20 minutes a day, where I just think of all the worst things that could happen. And then I would take them all the way down. And if that happens, then what happens? And if that bad thing happens, then what happens? And it was all the way to like me going out of business. And then if I went out of business, what would happen? Well, I'd have to start over. And if I started over, what would happen? I would create something new. And so I would just take it all the way to the end while keeping track of my anxiety. The last thing I did was I wrote down every single negative thought that I had. And I started keeping track of it. This is something I think that might happen. This is another thing that I think might happen. All the things I'm worried about. And I did this for, you know, probably, I don't know, a month maybe. And I noticed something. Each day, by me facing my fear, like the stories I was telling myself, they just started diminishing. They kind of like I gave space for my anxiety. And by giving space for my anxiety, suddenly the world started opening up, in that it just was coming back weaker. It was like the next day it wasn't as strong because it had space. I wasn't fighting it. You know, there wasn't that friction, because for whatever reason, and I've learned a lot more about this since, I'd given space. I'd given some opportunity for that anxiety to breathe and to live. And when I did that, it lost some of its power. And so each day went along and there was just less of it. I was just, you know, I wasn't obsessing as much. When I was keeping track, that 80 times a day, that first day I did it, dropped to 40 times within a couple of days. Before I knew it, it was 2 or 3 times a day. And then I wasn't even doing it at all. I'd given it space and knew that I wasn't fighting it. So I wasn't fighting myself, in a sense. The other thing that happened was I created this really big list, right? And I'm going to fast forward, because over time it wore down and my anxiety went away. The problem I was having in my business went away. But I was reflective about it. And I went and I looked at the list of all these things that I'd written down. I mean, it was like over 100. Of all these things I was worried about that would happen, all these bad things, what my business partners were thinking, what my counterparties in my business, what my customers, what my employees, like bad things that would happen. I mean, it was this crazy list, right? And I went through the list and I reread the whole list. And this is probably, I don't know, 6 to 9 months after this whole episode, this thing, this really, really painful anxiety episode happened for me. And I reread the list. And out of the list, I want you to take a second and guess. I'm going to tell you, let's say there was 100 things on that list. It was a pretty big list. So let's say there's about 100 things on that list. How many of those things out of 100 do you think actually came true? Take a second guess. 100. I wrote down 100 bad things I thought might happen to me because of this tough situation I was in. Take a guess. 20? 5? 100 out of 100? Let's just pick like a small number. 1. One of them came true. No, the answer is not even that. 0 of those things actually happened. And I'm going to tell you what, I had some crazy shit on that list. Some stuff that like, like the company didn't blow up, right? I wasn't on the front page of the New York Times as someone that screwed up my business, right? Like those things that were completely whack-a-mole, you know, insane, and like didn't happen. Okay, but there was some stuff on there that was less crazy. None of it happened. 0. 0 things happened on that list. And I realized, I said, wow, my imagination is a strong imagination. Not one of them came true. So this got me really curious. I was like, holy shit. Not one of them? I was worried about all. I was losing sleep over it. I couldn't eat. I was sick to my stomach all day. I get obsessed about it. I was distracted by it. This thing ruled my world for probably like, I don't know, 90 days, 3-4 months. It sucked. I'm telling you, my business partners were worried about it. They're like, hey, are you okay, man? You know, like, we're going to be okay. But it was just this one thing that I just couldn't get over. And I went and got over it, right? So I it blew my mind. Let's just put it that way. That 6 months, 9 months later, somewhere around there, I look at this list, and none of it happened. Not even one thing had happened. So I went and looked up the data on this. I said, you know, like, man, I wonder if there's data on what percentage of bad things actually happen that we worry about. And I found an article, I think it was in Psychology Today, and they've done some studies on this, and the numbers were enthralling. And the numbers that came out were this. We worry about all these things in our lives. And when they looked at the data and when they surveyed, I think they surveyed like over 1,000 people, a couple thousand people on this. It may have been it was either high 1,000s or tens of thousands of people on this. And when they looked at the data, Psychology Today, there was this big study done. And I think it was tens of thousands of people they interviewed. And the data was unbelievable. Out of 100 things we worry about that are going to happen, the numbers like 86% of them will never come true. And of the 14% that come true, they say that 93% of those are things that people when interviewed say that they were able to deal with and get past without it being a massive issue. Think about that. 93% of the 15% are things that we can just deal with in stride. So when you start looking at that math, it's like 1% of the things, less than 1% of the things we worry about actually come true. And when they come true, we can't deal with them. And those are probably things like getting really sick, you know, or getting in a debilitating car accident or something like that, right? Or it's just individuals that aren't that resilient. They can't deal. That every single thing is terrible and they can't deal with it and it ruins their life. And so I started looking, I said, wow, that's amazing. You know, and it gave me a new perspective. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, that by in of itself was not how I overcame my anxiety, but it was my first step in how I was able to really gain an awareness that how I was wired was one element. How I was thinking about what was happening was another element. And then how I was dealing with that was the last element. But having that awareness was the first step that got me down the road to where I'm at today, which is I have virtually almost no anxiety, you know, probably 1%, my 99% less than I did back then. But I will say this, that was my first step. It was a very steep hill I climbed because about 4 years later, I had a much bigger episode. And I'm going to save that episode for my next solo. Because I want to take you on the journey. I want to be fair to you about how I figured it out. But the first step was just having an awareness, right? So if you're someone that's dealing with anxiety or you tend to be an anxious person, again, for me, I said, oh, I'm just a worrywart. But the reality was this, I wasn't. I was someone that had some trauma in my life. It came out in the form of having anxiety. It had been going on since I was a very young child. And it was something that I got used to and built walls around to try to work through, mostly through achievement. But at the end of the day, it was still there. It still had life. It was still breathing. And it comes back even now. But I know how to deal with it now. And for me, the way I dealt with it then is I would build these walls around it. I would shut it up. I'd bury it. And I'd go and achieve and win and make money and do these things that would create, that would soothe me artificially, never dealing with the real problem. But when I met with Matt May, it was the first time in my life I actually gave space for that anxiety, kept track of it, measured it, just like had an awareness that it was okay that I had this. And then when I went and looked back at that data, I could not believe my fucking eyes. None of them happened.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
So I want you to think to yourself, you know, if you're a person that's anxious or worried about something, you know, do a couple of things I said. Give yourself some space, maybe once a day, 30, 40 minutes. You could go read David Byrne's material. He's got some great books on this matter. There's some other authors I'm going to recommend in future solos as we get into my journey and how I actually overcame it. Because again, that was my first step. But yeah, keep track. Maybe go get a counter. Go get a counter app. Say every single time you're worried or you start obsessing about something, you start thinking about something in your past. Ping, that's one. Ping, there's two. And sometimes I do like five in a row. I would stop. I'd go back to what I was doing and start thinking about it again. Ping, three. 100 my first day. Within 2-3 weeks, it was down to one or two a day. Within a month, I forgot to even keep track. And then make that list. Make that list of the things that you're worried about. Oh my God, what if this happens? And what if that happens? Or what if that would have happened to me in the past? And what if this is going to happen to me in the future? Go make that list. Keep track of it. Write every single thing down. Give it some space. And then over time, what I want you to do is look at it and say, did any of that stuff even happen? For me, it was, you know, give it months. When you do that, and I've done it again in my life, and it's always the same. Almost none of it happens, if not none of it happens. And when the stuff does happen, I'm totally capable of dealing with it, which foots that Psychology Today statistic. You will, if you have a resilient mind, have the ability to overcome everything and anything. And when we start to read the books of like Man's Search for Meaning, or you start to think about these people that have done really hard things, we know that we as humans are resilient. But we got to give ourselves that space. We got to heal our past wounds. We got to move past them. And then we have to have some faith that life's happening for us, as I've talked about in my previous solos, and that we are resilient humans who are able to handle the many difficult things that life throws at us, to thrive and become stronger individuals, to create greatness in the world. That said, I appreciate you. Thank you for listening to my solo today. I hope this maybe helped. So these are things that helped me in my life. I've invested a lot in overcoming this disease of anxiety in my body, and I'm a better person for it. And I'm looking forward to sharing the whole story. So next week, this will be a series. This is part one. It'll probably be a 3-part series, if not 4-part series. But this is part one of how I overcame my anxiety, and glad to get to share that with you. With that said, go live some greatness. Here at the Greatness Machine, we love you guys. Peace out. Take care.
You are listening to The Greatness Machine, and that's a wrap for today. Listen, if you love what you heard, subscribe to the show on whatever podcast platform that you're tuning in on so that you don't miss any of our future episodes. We have tons of great people coming on, and we're stoked to have you here to enjoy it with us. Leave us a review. Tell us what you love most about this particular episode. We love getting the reviews. We love to see what you guys love most. And if this particular episode, you know, made you think of someone who's leveling up in their business and in their life, print screen, share it with them. Leaders are the best givers. And after all, we're all here to support and grow with each other. And in case you want to see some of the fun behind the scenes shots or some of the things that we're doing, I'm actually writing about this in my weekly newsletter. Go to www.therealdarius.com and subscribe to my newsletter. We're talking about fun things like business and life and mindfulness and cryptocurrencies and gosh, I don't even know, everything and anything, but it's tons of fun stuff I write about. I try to get it out on a weekly basis. You can subscribe at www.therealdarius.com. And with that said, look, thank you guys so much. I appreciate you. I love you. Peace. We're out of here. See you guys on the next one.
lover.
This episode is brought to you by the Yap Media Podcast Network. I'm Hala Taha, CEO of the award-winning digital media empire, Yap Media, and host of Yap, Young and Profiting Podcast, a number one entrepreneurship and self-improvement podcast where you can listen, learn, and profit. On Young and Profiting Podcast, I interview the brightest minds in the world, and I turn their wisdom into actionable advice that you can use in your daily life. Each week, we dive into a new topic like the art of side hustles, how to level up your influence and persuasion, and goal setting. I interview A-list guests on Young and Profiting. I've got the best guests, like the world's number one negotiation expert, Chris Voss, Shark Damon John, serial entrepreneurs Alex and Layla Hormozi, and even movie stars like Matthew McConaughey. There's absolutely no fluff on my podcast, and that's on purpose. Every episode is jam-packed with advice that's going to push your life forward. I do my research, I get straight to the point, and I take things really seriously, which is why I'm known as the podcast princess and how I became one of the top podcasters in the world in less than 5 years. Young and Profiting Podcast is for all ages. Don't let the name fool you. It's an advanced show. As long as you want to learn and level up, you will be forever young. So join podcast royalty and subscribe to Young and Profiting Podcast, or Yap, like it's often called by my Yap fam, on Apple, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.